We're going to be in Galatians 5, 22 to 23, and I will be talking about the fruit. What comes after the vine? What comes after a plant? Fruit. On some of them, not all of them, but for the illustration Paul uses. I will be reading from the NASB, but when I reference things, it will usually be in the NIV. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Some background I would like to talk about is the book of Galatians is one of the earliest letters to the churches, after Jerusalem. And I think while there's some debate over what year exactly, I think it is one of the evidence is there that it's one of the earliest. And I think it would really strengthen us to think about where we're at right now and reflect a little bit on where we started as Christians. And that's just what I've been doing this last week. And I'm going to share a lot of some of my testimony in this and a couple stories. And I just hope you guys hear what I have to share this morning. I actually was saved at a very young age, but I was adopted into a Christian, at the time Catholic, believe it or not, household. And I still have my little Catholic birth certificate, which is actually, I found out the other day, a form of ID, which I thought was kind of funny and kind of cool. But eventually my parents decided to leave the Catholic Church and go to a Christian non-denominational church, and that's how I grew up. But it wasn't until about seventh grade where I really started choosing my own faith and deciding, like, yes, I really believe this. I was not just told this, and really started serving in the church alongside my mother in the nursery and really working out what a lot of these fruits are and what living like Jesus was. And I think these fruits that I just read really picture what Christ was to people throughout the Gospels. And I think I tried to come up with a story from my past or from one of my experiences at the hospital that encapsulated everything. And I think there's a lot of overlap with the fruits. But I really think, like, some stories show some parts really well and others show other fruits really well. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I think the symbolism, though, about it being to early believers and early converts really stuck out to me, because this isn't just for, like, where we're at right now, but it started at our initiation into Christianity and our initiation into the faith. And these are things that no matter where we're at in our walk, we should be trying to and attempting to emulate. That we were worldly, but are now called to live as Christ. I know I still struggle with being worldly and struggle with my fleshly nature. I struggled with it on the way over here when I was brake checked. But I think, you know, this is what I am called to live like and what I am called to emulate and bear fruit of. That we are sanctified and cultivating our fruits. The fruits of this Spirit definitively show us that Christian living looks, what Christian living looks like, both inside and outside. We think of fruit and we see apples, or we see delicious cherries. My favorite fruit, just in case you guys want to bribe me later. But and we think about, you know, fruit being an exterior thing, but it's the design of the tree that gives us the fruit. Trees are going to produce fruit no matter what. And I think that's really what we should be thinking and doing about our faith. What kind of fruit are we producing without even thinking about it? I think that reflectiveness is good to have. So what then? What does this new creation that we are do? This new creation bears fruit. This is expressed both inwardly and outwardly with the new spirit and the new purpose. The fruit, as again, just to go over, Galatians 5 describes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I think it'd be really good with the analogy of fruit to look at what is fruit. I think fruit is essentially twofold in purpose. It is for others and for the self. The tree reproduces, replicates, so it's self-preserving for the tree. And I think a good picture of this was growing up, my dad. I think I'm like Ryan adjacent. Sometimes when I'll walk past a plant, it'll die. But then, like, I bought an olive tree this year, and it cannot stop growing. I've repotted it 3 times, and it just will not stop. It's starting to become a problem. I'll have to take some lessons from Don's pruning soon. But but then other times, like, I've gone through 4 Japanese peace lilies this last year. And I think it is a little wasteful, but I should just know where I'm at right now and stop buying certain plants. But growing up, my dad always had a farm, and we had some acreage up in Redding, and not like a farm. I don't want you guys to think we were just out there in overalls growing corn. But we did have like tomato garden, carrots, things like that, and mostly tomatoes. My dad loves tomatoes. And I remember this so vividly because I would be the one that would go out and pick the tomatoes that everyone else got to enjoy. And I remember so much that, like, he'd just grow these plants regardless of the deer, and then he'd build an elaborate fence over it, and then he'd build a fence over that one because they just kept breaking through. And we just would try to grow these tomato plants every year. And this year, he really expanded the fence around the pool, or I guess last year, he really expanded the fence around the pool and planted them inside the massive fence. And then this year, he bought more tomato plants, and then, you know, as sproutlings, and replanted them and everything. And then alongside the tomato plants are all these new tomato plants growing from the tomatoes that were not picked or birds got to, or the seed droppings from the former year's tomato plants. And he was like, I don't know if I'm going to get rid of them, or if I'm going to just leave them and have more tomatoes, or how far this is going to go. And I think that is a good picture of both the survivalness of fruit and the purpose of fruit in nature. And I think that's also a very good picture of how we should be in the world with our new spiritual nature. You know, we're not supposed to be fleshly. We're not supposed to be like the world. And I think when we are fully living in the Spirit, I think even with God's graciousness, when we're not fully operating in the Spirit, I think just emulating the fruits garners much fruit. I think fruit also preserves and sustains life, much like how the Spirit sustains and preserves us. Fruits are an external manifestations of the inner workings of the nature of the tree. When we are given a new nature by Christ, we are given new fruit to display that reflects the inner change and the new nature that believers experience. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. This new nature is expressed both inwardly and outwardly within us. It is also expressed explicitly and implicitly, such as laying on of hands. That's an explicit expression of our new spiritual nature, laying on the hands in prayer. You don't see people in the world doing that. There's some new age stuff, but realistically, that's a expression of our faith. And there's implicit expressions as well that we are experiencing here, such as this atmosphere and environment of worship and this atmosphere and environment of both verbally through music, but also just implicitly with the picture and the nature of these buildings and the other people here. And I think this cultivation of environment is something that we also should be striving for. And when we do that, both interiorly and exteriorly, we are cultivating an environment that sprouts up fruit. Well, I said also to be fruits are intrinsically, inwardly and outwardly, just in the attributes and what they are. However, this is not an accident, as love is the foundation of all of these fruits. And love is the driving force of the cross and Christ coming to live as us. It's kind of funny because I actually didn't know this was going to be here. And then AJ told me as we were walking up into the building. And I think it's really cool. We would call that a divine appointment at work. But I think just like how the fruit is supposed to be intrinsically driving us and the outwardness of that, it's even reflected in the model of the fruit that we see. Love is at the first place of the fruits, and it should also be at the first place of our hearts, much like what Ryan said. But it's also the driving action and the underlying foundation of all of the other fruits as well. And I think so many times in nature, we see this reflected so many times, where it's like the smaller you look at something, the more intricate it gets. And I think that's really amazing how the Word of God can reflect God's creation that we can visibly see. It's very humbling for me. Being that these are interior and exterior, there is no dependence on the situation the individual finds themselves in. Such like my dad's tomato sproutlings that just grew. He didn't water them. I don't know if you've ever been to Redding, but it gets over 110 in the summer there. So these tomatoes had very little help. They actually had a lot working against them. And I think this is reflective in the entirety of the ministry of Christ. All of those that were supposed to welcome him, all those that were supposed to support him and recognize the Christ, the Messiah, did not. And I think it's so amazing that fruit is so resilient. Little seeds are so resilient that they can last hundreds of years and still be replanted. I think there was I don't know what it's called exactly, but there was some type of palm tree that they found in these pots in Israel that were replanted, and they've grown three of them now, plants that haven't been around for thousands of years. I just think it's so incredible. And I think that picture can also be applied to us as well, where even if we're just little watering, we're just doing what we can, I think these fruits can still be expressed. Or if we're not feeling something internally, we can still choose to express these fruits manually, if you will. Being Christ-centered and stemmed from means that we also cultivate an environment for bearing and growing fruit within us. This is done through discipline and working towards knowing God more through ways such as reading our Bibles. Excuse me. Praying and showing the fruits of the Spirit intentionally, whether we feel it or not. Another thing, fruit is produced by the tree. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. It is not by the tree saying, I will produce Valencia oranges, the best of oranges, when it is a Granny Smith apple tree. It is by the design of God, its creator, that it produces Valencia oranges, which begs us to answer, what environment are we cultivating? Are we inwardly cultivating an environment that grows and nourishes the fruit of the Spirit, or are we nourishing the opposite? Are we choosing not to read? Are we choosing to zone out in front of the TV for hours? Are we choosing to get mad when someone cuts us off? Outwardly, are we displaying the fruits of the Spirit, or are we looking like the rest of the world? We are called not just to act differently, but to be differently, just as Christ was. A societal change and a change that sparked inner change in those he met. It is the Holy Spirit that makes an inner change to an outward change. And I think baptism is a good picture of that. And I'd really like to touch on, being that love is foundational to the others, I'd really like to touch on love. Okay. And I read this Jonathan Edwards quote, and it really like cut me to the core and really like was very impactful for me while studying this, and I hope it is for you as well. I think he summarizes love's foundationalness perfectly. The Bible stresses that true religion can be summarized by the word love. Love is our primary affection and the fountain of all of our heart experiences. Our Savior made this clear when he answered the lawyer who asked him, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two principles hang all the law and the prophets. This is why love, quote over, this is why love is the most important. Without it, the others are nothing, and the others stem from it. A divine love beyond circumstance, including betrayal and denial such as Peter. It is the place of beginning and how and where we are supposed to be walking in and by. Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is not just an option or a recommendation. It is a command from our Savior and our leader. Love is the underlying and connecting force that is woven through the story that I would like to share with you. And I know we have a little bit of time, so I'm just going to share one of my experiences at the hospital. It was 5 a.m., and I was very tired and was called to the NICU to pray with a family. Their baby was about to go into emergency surgery, which they do in the room. They don't do it in the operation unit. They do it in the actual room that the baby's in. And they asked if I'd pray for them, and I said, absolutely. And they said, after we prayed and everything, this is a family I know for a while. Their baby was not doing so well, and it was on the cusp of, you know, continuing care, or they're doing all they can do. And they're like, we'd really wish you could be praying while the surgery's happening. And I was like, absolutely. I would love to stay with you guys. And they were like, no, we meant in the room, but we know that's not possible. And I said, hold on, let me go ask. So then I walk over to the surgeon, and I'm like, I'm so sorry to bother you. Weird ask, I know you might not have been asked this before, do you mind if I just hang out in that corner? And I pointed to the one corner where nobody was at, and she was like, and do what? And I was like, the family requested that I pray. And I just would like to pray. And if you guys aren't comfortable, you know, this is something we say no to all the time. But I just thought I'd ask. And she's like, wow, no one's ever asked me that before. We would love it if you could do that. So I literally stood in this corner almost the whole time, just praying constantly for this baby, for the surgeon. They asked me to pray out loud before the surgery started. And I did. And this is at UC Davis, too. And, that guy gets it. And, I think, and this is what I meant when I say, we don't always have to feel it to receive the benefits of express fruits. I know not everybody was a Christian. I don't think that surgeon was a Christian. Every single one, it was only 12 people, But every single one of these people came up to me afterwards and thanked me. The surgeon like grabbed me and was like, thank you so much for being this calm patient present during this surgery. It was 2.5 hours long. And she was like, can you go with me to the family and deliver the news? And I don't know what your guys' experience were, but at UC Davis, we were not allowed to deliver news. So it was kind of like should I do this? And I just went to see what would happen. And the nurse told, and then she was like, would you like to share your experiences? And we just had this beautiful time of more prayer and joy, immense joy from this place of love, patience, kindness, goodness, peace, and faithfulness. And I think self-control as well. I didn't want to get too much into it, but it was a very invasive surgery. I saw all of the baby's insides out of its body and then replaced in its body after a doctor is working with literally millimeters of tissue. And to me, that is not just an expression of fruit. It is a miracle what God has created humans to heal and do. And I think being part of that was one of the most humbling experiences of my life. And I thank God for it very often. And I think when we are truly operating and walking in not just a cultivated environment of fruit, but the expectation that God will have us bear fruit wherever we are at, I think that is incredibly powerful. And I cannot urge you enough to be disciplined, be prayerful, be thoughtful. We can accomplish mighty works for the sake of the kingdom. And I think we really, really need to be working on ourselves and in our communities. And it starts first here in the heart, here in the mind, here in the self, and then here in our church, in our men's group, in retreats like this. Y'all paid to be here for the most part, I'm assuming. And I think we really need to be taking all of these opportunities to grow ourselves and grow our communities and then take it outside. Thank you. I will pray and then I will give the mic to Jeff, Pastor Jeff. Or the music, I apologize. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your holy word. We thank you for giving us testimonies and helping us encourage one another. And I just pray that you help us recognize our time that we have and help us recognize the sanctity of your creation and the life you've given us. Please, Lord, hear our cries. We know when your children cry out, you don't give them rocks or serpents or stones. But we are crying out for every good and perfect gift from the Father of lights. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.